Broadcasting live from an Airstream somewhere in Tornado Alley, bringing you the people, places, and stories from the Panhandle to the Red River. This is your Only in Oklahoma show.
And welcome to the show. Today we're headed to Pawnee to arguably the best Western museum in the country. I mean, True West Magazine said it. I'm Brett.
And I am Harley. So, Brett.
Yes.
I recently made a return visit to a very pre-Only an OK Show expedition spot.
Really?
I went to Lake Jed Johnson.
When did you do that?
Just this weekend. Went for a little hike.
Awesome. Must be nice to have weekends off where you can do those kind of things. It's probably best that I don't have weekends off because of my list of things to do as a honeydew expert would grow exponentially.
So one of the things that I noticed.
Yeah.
I don't know if you remember back to the exploration of Lake Jed Johnson, but after our camping trip, when we woke up the following morning, it was cold and we were starving.
We were absolutely starving.
And we rolled into Medicine Park. Mm-hmm. This has been a few years back.
No breakfast to be found.
No breakfast. So, but today, mm-hmm. you roll into Medicine Park.
Really?
Dude.
Don't do it to me.
Dude.
The best breakfast or just a breakfast?
The place is rocking and rolling 24/7.
Yeah, they've come a long way in a very short amount of time.
It's amazing. They've got new cabins up. The place is really nice.
Well, you know, in the last time we were there, which was kind of pre-COVID, shortly before COVID, probably around February, I had the opportunity to stay up there because I have a friend of mine who has kind of a timeshare slash cabin, knew I was going to be there for the polar plunge. And we were up on the hill, which is a great vantage point because there's tons of, I would consider them historical homes there, but they're also a lot of new building and new development going on top of the hill. A lot of postmodern looking homes, a lot. Again,
there are homes up there where you're guaranteed that not only was an architect involved, but mm-hmm. like a team of engineers.
Oh, absolutely.
Like, this house doesn't look like it, like physically make, there aren't a whole lot of new homes going in there.
Yeah.
That are flat houses, you know, square houses on a flat foundation.
Absolutely not. In very long driveways that you have to have a four-wheel drive to get up and neutral to go down. I mean, I think you could literally coast to Medicine Park proper in neutral. But yeah, Medicine Park, I mean, if you all haven't been there in a minute, you need to get back there because so much to see there, so much to do. Everything, you know, we say, it's almost, how do you get away from it? How do you get away from saying things like, there's a little something for everybody? But it really kind of is.
But more importantly, we're going to be talking about a place that is a little bit further away from us than Medicine Park.
Just a little.
And has a lot to do that we had no idea about, Pawnee, Oklahoma. And we're going to get to that right after this.
So tax season over with. We're done. We're done with tax season.
I hope you paid them.
Well, they gave you an extension this time around. They gave you till May 15th to turn them in.
Yeah.
I mean, but I think looking back, there were so many new numbers to input this time and rebates for this and COVIDs and that and stimuluses and I didn't get this monies and that monies.
I think it's even worse for small business owners though.
Oh, gosh.
So many new rules.
So many new rules, especially within the last 12 to 18 months.
Yeah. So it's definitely something that if you're running a small business, you definitely need a navigator to get you through the new obstacles along the way to tax season.
Right. It's more than just crossing your T's, dotting your I's. It's making sure that those decimal points are in the right spot. Because I know for a fact there are a lot of people that are probably leaving a ton of money. They thought they had it figured out, but you're leaving a ton of money on the table.
Right. And we know exactly the people that you need to talk to make sure that you're not giving Uncle Sam more than his due.
Because he's not going to call you and say, hey, by the way, you overpaid.
Absolutely not. There's 100% zero chance. There is zero chance.
0.0. which is a good number.
That the IRS is going to call you and go, hey, we noticed that you made a mistake and we've got some extra money for you.
Right. Would you like that in, would you like that in cryptocurrency or cash, or how can we make this, how can we make it right with you?
Right. Uncle Sam's not going to make that call, but I promise you, if you are a client of Holiday Tax Group, they're going to find that money that Uncle Sam wasn't going to give you.
Absolutely. You know, they've been around for, God, well over a decade. And if you are a teacher or a military personnel, we can't say it enough. You deserve a discount. They give you one, 20% off any tax service you have.
So if you want a free 30-minute consultation, just give them a call. It's 405-730-3100.
Or find them on the web at holidaytaxgroup.com. That's holiday with two L's. So, you know, I fancy myself a Western culture fanatic. I like to watch Westerns. I spent many an afternoon watching Westerns. I watched TV shows like Rawhide and Gunsmoke.
Right. As far as Western culture goes, we're fans.
We're fans.
We're not historians. We're not experts.
Not at all.
But we are definitely fans.
I would say, arguably for me, if somebody said, what's your biggest genre? What's your favorite? I think by looking at me, people would, and kind of seeing what I post and what I talk about, it would be horror, and then somewhere in there, Jean-Claude Van Damme. But at the high tippity-top top of the list, it's Western culture. But there's a lot of things I didn't know, and I still continue to learn about Western culture, not to mention how much of it, and again, this is, I'm probably going to have arrows flung at me, and somebody's going to shoot me with a Winchester, but how much Western culture started right here in Oklahoma?
The place that we're talking about today, Pawnee Bill Ranch in Pawnee, Oklahoma, was literally named by True West Magazine as one of the best Western museums in the country in their Cowboys, Indians, Lawmen, and Outlaws category.
Well, you know, and what I like about this museum is it does a fantastic job to dedicating itself to preserving the history of the American West. You know, visitors are always welcome to explore. There's tons of things to see and learn about, including Pawnee Bill.
The Pawnee Bill Ranch and Museum was home of the Wild West show entertainer Gordon W. Pawnee Bill Lilly.
Mm-hmm.
He's one of the people, he is one of the reasons that Westerns are a thing.
Yeah, absolutely. When you think about your Western heritage characters of the Wild West, you immediately go Wyatt Earp, Annie Oakley, Wild Bill Hickok, Geronimo, you know all those?
Yeah.
And I'll be honest, I'll be the first to tell you, I haven't heard just a whole hell of a lot about Pawnee Bill.
I'm right there with you. He's one of the unsung heroes as far as I'm concerned. He actually started out in Illinois. His family had relocated after a fire burned down their business. They moved to Wellington, Kansas, and Lily started his lifelong relationship with the people of the Pawnee tribe around that time. They were wintering near Wellington during their removal and movement to the vicinity of Pawnee, Oklahoma.
So in 1883, he was recruited. Yes, recruited by, I'm sure you've heard of Buffalo Bill Cody. Well, he had a Wild West show. We're all familiar with that. But he was recruited to kind of coordinate the efforts of the Pawnee troop in the first ever Bill Cody Wild West show. The first ever!
Right. And, dude, as far as that goes, The Buffalo Bill Cody's Wild West show was literally the who's who.
Oh yeah,
of Western celebrities.
Well, okay, think about the modern era. Like you watch a Star Wars movie or you watch a Marvel movie, and you go, "Oh, there's Superman or there's Iron Man. Oh my God, it was literally like a cameo every show."
Right.
Go down the list.
Will Rogers was there.
Yep.
Tom Mix, mm-hmm. Pawnee Bill, obviously, Annie Oakley, you talked about earlier, Bronco Bill, Coyote Bill, all the Bills. Like, they literally, if there was an animal in the front of the word Bill, that guy was in this show.
There's a lot of Bills in the Wild West, a lot of them, and they're all related to an animal somehow.
Pawnee Bill's involvement in that show really led to the development of a motion picture company, he was also super successful in endeavors involving oil, real estate, banking. This guy was all over the place. He really kind of reminds me a lot of Will Rogers.
Well, and he was really also kind of a trailblazer in automobiles. He kind of saw what automobiles and modern highways could bring
to the West.
To the West, absolutely.
Yeah, he was actually the president of the Highway 64 Association, and U.S. Highway 64 through Oklahoma was originally called the Pawnee Bill Route. Really, when you look at things like that, you're really kind of looking at the beginning of, like, the Route 66.
Right, the highway systems.
Right.
Yeah. And that was the thing. You talk about Route 66, not to get too far into the future. I know this. Now we're going to start talking about Back to the Future 3. But highway systems, that was the... You could travel from all the way from one side of the country to the other on one single route.
Dude, the thing that really amazes me about this time...
Yeah.
...is you had at the... Like, together, happening at the same time.
Mm-hmm.
You had people crossing the country in wagons.
Yep.
You had people crossing the country in trains.
Right.
And you had people, like, literally laying down the roads for the automobile. Like, what a cool time to... I mean, again, the cowboy stuff is cool,
mm-hmm.
but all of the innovation
right.
and different modes of transportation all kind of happened, like, all at the same time in the West.
Well, and you think also about somebody like... And not to say Pawnee Bill was... you think West, you think primitive thinkers. You know what I mean? It's the Wild West. Everybody's, I don't know, hunting for their supper and stuff like
right.
that.
They're working from sunup to sundown. They don't have time to innovate.
But what a forward thinker he was to say, this is going to be, it's almost like he had the inside track. This is going to be a thing. I'm going to devote my much of my time and effort to a thing that was, I can't imagine what the first car, how long it would have taken to take the first car from East Coast to West Coast.
Without the highway, without the current highway system?
Without the current highway system.
Right. And as far as this guy being kind of imagining the future,
yeah.
he was also the whole time trying to protect the past.
Right.
So one of the things that happened during that time,
mm-hmm.
or around that time, we killed a lot of bison.
Hundreds of thousands. The number is astonishing that they're even still herds today. But
right.
they've been well preserved. But he was even, while they were basically a cash crop, he was actively working towards preservation of the American bison.
Right, because he felt like, and I agree with him, 120 years later, I'm in full agreement that the American bison really represents the heart
of the West.
Of the Wild West.
I don't know about you, but when I see them, especially in certain locales, and I don't want to spoil anything, but there's certain places not far from here where you can see them roam. It's almost like looking into a looking glass, especially if it's the right setting and you're in the right. You know what I mean?
Dude, I have pictures from this weekend.
It literally makes you, it takes you to this. It's just hard to explain. There's something, there's a reason why the native culture holds these creatures in such a high regard. There's something very spiritual that happens.
They're majestic.
They are as majestic as, I think, for me, the wolf, then you go American bison, and then you could probably trickle in
a bear.
Those are my top three. Hot button, Wild West, take me back to a time, a simpler time, creatures.
Absolutely. So Pawnee Bill actually, he established a herd of bison on his ranch near Pawnee,
mm-hmm.
and he lobbied Congress to protect them, to create a special category for bison. They were one of the first protected species by Congress.
What would make you even, how would that even be Again, I think about the time, the era, that's just not even something that I don't think that anyone would think about. But he did.
He did. His efforts eventually did lead to the opening of the Wichita Mountains National Wildlife Refuge.
Are you kidding me?
Which I was there this weekend.
Yes.
I took pictures of the bison. while I was out there at Judd Johnson. Dude, it's, I don't know of anything more important for the environment than the job that the bison does.
Oh, yeah.
And we don't have nearly enough of them.
We don't have nearly enough. And you talk about the Wichita Mountain National Wildlife Refuge, and we'll get back to the Pawnee Bill Museum, but is there anywhere out there that's not a picture? Like, it's just everything is a photo opportunity. And it's, I'm going back to what you said, that you wish there were, basically saying you wish there were more of them, because you really have to look out there.
They're not in a pen.
Right. They're not in a pen. They're
Where they want to go, and yeah, you're not going to really stop them.
Right. And you can't drive right up to them because they'll either charge at you or charge the other way. But yeah, you got to give it up to a guy that, again, in a time where this type of thing had to have been unheard of. What did Congress, I would love to know what Congress said to him in rebut to his request.
I don't know.
Are you cotton picking mine, Pawnee Bill? What are we going to eat?
I really think, though, again, I think this guy was doing our job 120 years ago.
Whose job? Ours?
Ours. Me and you.
He was the originator
of the Only an Okay Show.
I kind of feel like we owe him. He needs to be in the production notes.
Dude, I'm telling you, I don't think that they're... I think you would be hard-pressed, even with somebody like Will Rogers,
yeah,
to say that anybody perpetuated the mythical kind of Wild West mm-hmm. version mm-hmm. of Oklahoma more than Pawnee Bill.
Well, you mentioned also, you mentioned Will Rogers. Pawnee Bill and Will Rogers were kind of doing the same thing, but from a different...
On different stages.
Yeah, on different stages, I mean, most definitely.
At least a few times on the same stage.
Well, I feel like Pawnee Bill was kind of the man on the street or man on the prairie, whereas, you know, Will Rogers was writing, you know, doing radio, when radio started, doing radio shows, and he was a writer before that.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, different perspectives, same scope of thinking.
They would have been great podcasters.
They would have been they would have been us. I think you're probably... Are you Pawnee Bill?
I would love to be Pawnee Bill.
But if we were naming each other, if it were in the name generator and we only had two names to choose from, who would I be?
Dude, I'm...
I don't want to know. I don't want to know. Buffalo Brett, maybe? I don't want to know what you think about me.
Oh, that's awesome. So as far as... We actually need to get to the museum.
We got to get to the museum.
So you can visit this ranch. It's 500 of the original 2,000 acres of Pawnee Bill's ranch.
500 acres is still a ton of land.
It's huge.
That's a lot.
You can visit the ranch, including the 14-room mansion that is fully furnished with the original belongings of the Lilly family.
Okay, so my question to you is this. I don't know a lot of conservationists in Wild West, Wild Bill Hickok Western show stars that have a 14-room mansion on 2,000 acres.
Right, but again, this guy was, he had a lot of skills, and he had a lot of irons in the fire. He was an oil man. He was a banker. He was a real estate mogul.
So he was like the Western Liam Neeson. I've got a lot of skills. I've honed over many years.
I'm not even sure it's that. I think honestly the guy took the money that he was making as a performer and he invested it wisely. He invested it in the place where his heart was.
You know, a lot of people back then buried their money in mason jars by fence posts because they didn't trust banks. So smart money. You know, Joe Rogan, it sounds like he has what Joe Rogan would call FU money. You know what I mean?
Probably, yeah.
That's the kind of, but he, again, in a time where everything is, you don't trust the banks, the government's corrupt, the fact that you're able to sock some money away and invest it wisely in decent ventures and take care of yourself at the same time. I mean, the dude had his stuff together.
He had his ducks in a row for sure. So the house, the museum was built in 1910. Mm-hmm. It's been recently renovated. Touring the home though, dude, this is like a time machine.
Yeah.
You're talking about memorabilia, photographs, original artwork. All the stuff from their daily lives is there.
I like that type of touch. You know, I think we've all been to a museum or two here in Oklahoma where this was the original bedroom, this is the original furniture. There's something, it just kind of breathes life into something. You can almost hear the echo of the voices and hear that you close your eyes and you just kind of hear the chatter and the clinging of, you know, boots and spurs and all that. I love that about that, that you can actually, I love peering into the past.
Right. And again, that's not the only part of this museum. They also have exhibits that pertain to Pawnee Bill himself, to the Wild West shows, to the Pawnee tribe.
Well, okay. So we talk about Wild West shows. We always talk about things to do. I want to see a Wild West show.
So you absolutely have the option of seeing really as close as you would see without an actual time machine, the original Wild West show. Every year the ranch recreates Pawnee Bill's original Wild West show. It's basically in June.
Right before the heat of the summer. I wouldn't be too miserable. I don't know. I'm so corny. I used to like the Frontier City gunfight show that they do. I always thought that was kind of fun.
Right. And I feel like this is
better than that.
I think it's a whole nother level. As far as this performance goes, though, I think it's something you need to add to your calendar. If you miss it this year, you definitely need to shoot for next year. It's really a chance to tour this historic ranch. And dude, they still have the herd of buffalo. They have longhorn. They have horses running around this ranch. You can drive around and see them.
I think of it as kind of like Arbuckle Wilderness meets the way the West was won. I don't think you could feed. Probably not going to get to feed the bison. Sorry.
No, you won't.
They're not very personable. I don't know if you've ever been around them. They're not very personable. I had an in-law who owned three of them, and they might come to the fence to eat. They might not, but you'd all of a sudden, they'd just be sitting there chilling, not moving, and then just bust out and just run, and you could hear them.
A lot of people just think, oh, they're just cows.
Right.
They are not.
They're not. They are, I don't.
They're a totally different, I mean, not just, you know.
Not just a literally a totally different animal, but figuratively a totally different animal.
They don't take things the same way.
No, they're very jumpy. They're very quick to scare, and they will charge you. So stay your ass in the car.
Speaking of that, a little bit more fine print. COVID-19 strikes again.
Can we stop saying that one day? I'm thinking 2022, we won't be able to say that anymore.
Oh God, I hope so. So again, to help spread or to help
spread. Don't say that. You're not allowed to. You can't do that.
To help prevent the spread of COVID-19, occupancy is limited to no more than 10 visitors in the museum at one time.
Okay.
Tours of the mansion are limited to 9 in a customer group or 5 if you're not in a group. And this is a first come, first serve. So the first person there is the first person that goes in.
Yeah.
So on and so forth.
You know the rules of first come, first serve. Okay. But there's a couple other catches. They have a few things under renovation. The veranda and the big barn are both closed for repairs. Hopefully by the time you get this, they'll be over.
Right. And again, they are asking that you practice social distancing and stay 6 feet away from other visitors and the staff who are not in your party. And then the OHS is requiring face masks in all public areas.
Or they'll shoot you right between the eyes, you yellow-bellied, no-mask-wearing sons of bitches.
If you're interested in checking out the ranch, or if you're interested in any of their other activities that they have throughout the year, check out their website. It's PawneeBillRanch.org.
And always you want to check and make sure if they've updated anything on their schedule or if they're going to magically make masks go away. You definitely want to check that out. You also want to check us out. We're not wearing masks right now.
We aren't.
We are 6 feet apart, though. Well,
that's not 6 feet.
The desk is. There's a 6-foot desk between us. But this has been the Only OK Show. I'm Brett.
And I'm Harley. And we're out of here.
Peace.
I've been given permission to talk to myself, and I will do so in a voice that's undecipherable.
Cho-cho-cho-cho-cho-cho. What type of tortillas did she use?
Corn?
Nah.
Super thin?
I'll tell you what makes a bad enchilada. Carb-balanced tortillas.
Buffalo Bill Cody's Wild West Show. He was an Oklahoma promoter. Like, he was us in the 1800s.
Mm.
3, 2, 1.
Oh, give me a second.
3, 2, 1, and welcome to the Only an OK Show. I'm Harley, and Brad needs a second. 3, 2, 1. Welcome to the show. I'm Brett.
3, 2, 1.